Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You need a guy on third base to hit 280. You need a guy at second base to hit 275. This guy hits 300. Is it all just analytics, or you still need the scouting department to see what they see in the field part of the game?
Well, I think you need both of them, and I think they're both very helpful. I do think that having the eye test is very important, because the part about baseball or part about any sport is the development and growth of the human body, and how an individual at 18 years old is not the same person when he's 23 years old. And that's why you have to watch the player. And the other thing is, I was reading. I got a lot of time I spent in my basement going through notes and stuff. But Leroy had an old NFL general manager, and I had gotten some notes from him at one point, and he said, "What the most important thing is seeing a player against comparable players. I'd rather see a player perform against a comparable player one time than to see him perform seven times on his video," and that. Mm. And I think that's where the eye test comes in, is you just see players grow. Look at Giannis, how the player he is today, you know. And I stay in touch with John Hammond quite a bit and everything. And you know, I was wondering if the Bucks at the time, if they would have tanked or something those years and got the top three picks, would they have taken Giannis?
No,
I don't know.
Probably
that.
Not. Yeah.
No chance.
Probably
no.
Not. And, you know, when teams tank, you tank to think you're getting the best player. But I don't think if they would have tanked in that year and gotten the top three or four or five picks, they wouldn't have taken Giannis. And he was probably a risky player. But John Hammond had the eye and the nerve to take him. I guess we could say, use other terms, but the nerve to
fortitude.
Take him.
Yeah.
To take him at that particular time at the 15th pick, and he's turned out to be a wonderful player. And well, I remember when Jack Zirinczyk took Prince Fielder, and that was before I came here. There is all kinds of people that I remember. Oakland in the Moneyball book, it said, wow, what a mistake the Brewers did in taking Prince Fielder. So I do believe you still have to look at the players, because Prince was a 17-year-old kid, and, you know, can he play at a higher level of competition? Because Aaron Rodgers is another one. Because you just have to see, and everybody has to stick their neck out there on certain players at times. And the numbers are good, because the numbers do show trends in the game. Trends maybe of a player, is he losing some ability or not? And I think it's very good to have them both. I do think that you see a lot with the eye, and I think you have all the numbers to either confirm what a scout maybe sees or to go against what a scout sees. So I think they're both very good to have, and if they're utilized right, and David Stearns has utilized both aspects well enough to go out there and play, have back-to-back playoffs. So, and Craig's very good at it too. Craig looks at the numbers. He knows how they work, but he also knows, he's been around long enough to know that it's important to use the eye. For example, Craig Counsell got a 16-year career. Somebody out there saw Craig Counsell and saw what he could do and saw how he played the game and how he went about his business playing the game and how the little things he did in playing the game. Maybe Craig Counsell doesn't get that opportunity, but somebody, some manager, coaches, and scouts saw the year in and year out what Craig Counsell could do, and he had a nice big league career.
Hey, Doug, about it from that perspective, what about when you start putting trade packages together? Obviously, we talked about Sabathia, but like the Greinke deal, which essentially some would say would help build the Royals into the World Series team they were for a couple of years, Lorenzo Cain and Escobar and those guys that went over in that deal. How does that whole process work as far as figuring out you and your scouts and front office as far as what players you're willing to put in, what players you're not willing to put in? Because obviously, you know, front office opinions are probably a lot different than, say, Jim Callis's opinion, what he may have on your farm system as well.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's there's a lot of differences between some of the reports and you go over the top prospect list and you differ from what your scouts' opinions are or from your own opinion. You like to see the players. We knew we were giving up a really talented player in Lorenzo Cain. And Escobar is an outstanding defender. We knew his bat was probably a little short. But Lorenzo was a tough one to give up there, but we also were getting a pitcher we were going to have at least for a year and a half. But it's different sometimes, Sparky, when you're making the trades. Are you making a trade to improve your ball club? I think the trades we made for Greinke were, we made the trades because we felt there was a window of opportunity when we made Greinke trades and Martin got Sean Markham, and that there's a window of opportunity to try to win and that. And I think at that particular time, that's what that trade was about. Hey, guys, if we wait, we're not going to get a pitcher of his caliber again. And then we got Markham also as part of, he came over and helped us earlier on in the year. But, you know, and then there's other trades you make just to make a trade to say, I think this trade makes us better now, you know. But those trades were opportunity trades that we had to make a decision. Do we want to take that chance? We did with the CC trade too, you know. And those were opportunities to say, I think if you remember, I did have a quote. I don't know whether people liked it or not, but I said, I think we're all in on this year for the younger players that we gave up. And the other part is I trusted our scouts and development people that for them to go find other players once you give up some young players, then it's their job to go find some players for the next few years.
You know, you talked a little bit about David Stearns. You talked a little bit about Craig Counsell and the job. They're doing it differently, though, with the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, they don't have, you know, four, three Cy Young guys that's going to be there in their starting rotation. I mean, he's almost coaching on feel of when to go get a guy, when to take a guy out. Maybe only go three innings. Just how difficult that is to do as far as a manager is concerned.
Well, as long as they're communicating together, which I know they do very well, I think that that can work. But if you have a difference of opinion, if one doesn't believe in the other, then it's not going to work. And that, but it's true, Gary. They are doing it a little bit differently than what I did. But that's right. Part of what the game is today. The game changes. All sports change, whether we like it or we don't like it. And that, you know, like I was from a manager standpoint. I think Craig and David are very on board with what's going on. They communicate every day. David's a hard worker. He's in the office all the time, and they go over. They understand the players and that, and Craig has the respect that he can sit down and tell a player, hey, your role might change, or he doesn't even have certain roles. Your job is to get outs. He talks about pitchers getting outs.
Yeah, he does.
Your job is to get outs. It doesn't matter. You know, we may not ask you to get nine innings of outs. We're just going to tell you to get outs, and then we'll decide when the time has come and that. But it's worked for the last 2 years and that, so... but you're right. They're building what they've done. Probably the clubs that I have probably has a little more star talent at the time, but these teams today are built on depth, and they have depth. They'll go 45 players deep into the minor leagues over the course of the year, and claim waivers and make trades during the year and that. And sometimes we would maybe just go 35 players over the course of of season, but. That's where the game has changed a lot too. There's a lot of change. The starting pitchers, you know, they don't go the nine innings anymore. They don't go eight innings or seven innings.
Right.
in that. But you know, I was looking. One thing is the game, the change in the game for me, the most that I struggle with is I'd like to see the ball put in play more, because I think when you have action, I don't think people will complain about the game being long.
Yes.
And I think if you have a three, I'm watching some of these, you know, we got enough time now. I'm watching all these old classic games, whether the NBA or NFL or baseball. But the game the other day was on in Detroit, and Minnesota had a one-game playoff. I think it was 2009. And that was an exciting game, went 12 or 13 innings. But the reason it was exciting was because the ball was put in play. There was action. There was guys thrown out at home plate. There was guys stealing bases. There was outfielders making great plays in that. And I was looking up the 2008 team that we won with the Sabathia team. We had six guys in our lineup struck out 100 times.
Oh my God.
And in 1982, when the Yount Molitor years, they had one guy struck out 100 times. That was Gorman Thomas. And we had six in our lineup in 2008, but in today's lineup, you'll see a lot of strikeouts. But
yep.
I think people will accept a three-hour game, three-hour, 15-minute game if there's action, if there's ball put in play, if the ball's moving, if runners are moving, if fielders are moving. And I think sometimes we look at the game and say we need to speed it up. But I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the game is slower, because when there's strikeouts, like there is today, there's more pitches being thrown, there's more dead time.
I'm just going to cut that and send it straight to Commissioner Manfred, who keeps thinking that the pitch clock is going to change the style of game and make it a little bit quicker so millennials can digest it a little bit more. Doug Melvin joining us for a couple of more minutes, former Brewers general manager here on the Wendy's Big Show. Doug, you talked about the stars that you guys had on those teams. Ryan Braun, earlier on, before spring training got halted, mentioned a couple of different times that this could be the final year that he puts on a Brewers uniform. For you being there for the entirety of it in the different role you have now, what has Ryan Braun in your eyes meant to this organization?
Well, he was there when we started turning this thing around. He was, you know, he's a great performer. He's still performing, but early on years, he was an outstanding performer, and I love going back and watching the highlights on him and that. But I remember when Jack Zirinczyk drafted him, the one thing he talked about, he said, Doug, he said, this guy can really run, too. He can run. You know, I didn't see him as an amateur. I relied on Jack at the time when we drafted him. And that was a pretty good draft at the time. It was Zimmerman from Washington. It was Alex Gordon. It was Troy Tulowitzki. It was Ryan Braun. And I remember I called Troy Tulowitzki's agent and asked if he would move to third base if we drafted him, and he wouldn't do that. So we drafted Braun because Jack really did like Ryan Braun, and I think it was the right move. But Ryan was a great player, and I had some really good players in Texas with Pudge Rodriguez and Juan Gonzalez and Palmeiro, Will Clark, and in Baltimore, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken. But Ryan goes in probably my top five players that I've been associated with.
Now,
what he could do as an all-around player from running the bases, from hitting for power, hitting for average, and playing the game. And he had great instincts. He gets great instincts. You very seldom see Ryan Braun get thrown out at the bases.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember him getting thrown out. He had great instincts on the bases. But, you know, except for that little hiccup in his career, he's been an outstanding player.
Doug, you mentioned Giannis a few different times. People saw you as a mainstay at the old Bradley Center watching Bucks games. How much fun have you had watching the Milwaukee Bucks this year and the run they had?
Oh, yeah, they've been exciting to watch. I like following the NBA. In fact, I watched the other day, I was flipping channels, and I saw the Lou Alcindor game in his first year as a Bucks player, and he was playing against the Detroit Pistons, who I grew up watching, but I enjoyed watching that game the other day. But, no, the Bucks, you know, the Bucks are very similar to the Brewers, if you look at it. They do have a star player in Giannis. We have a star player in Yelich. They have great depth, the same way David has built this team, with great depth. And the depth that the Bucks have had is far superior to any of the other teams. And when you play the game as hard as these guys do today, with the injuries that take place today, too, that's the thing that bothers me about all sports today. There's more injuries than ever, and I don't know why. But the depth has become very, very important. And the front office of the Bucks have done a great job building that depth And I think beyond Giannis and Middleton and that, they have some great depth, and I think that's the reason why they've been as good as they've been. And they've not only just won games, they've dominated most of their games through the course of the year. And I sure hope we get back to playing. I think we all will get back to playing sports eventually, but their playoff run is going to be exciting again.
Doug, appreciate it. This has been so much fun. We appreciate the time. And as you said, during a trying time and a different time, we appreciate some stories that you were able to share. Just an incredible time of Brewers baseball that you brought us, and even some better stories right now. Appreciate the time today, Doug.
Well, I hope in a couple, 6 weeks or so, we can get within closer to 6 feet so we can shake hands and bring sports all back to the community.
Amen to that. Yeah. Doug, be safe. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Doug.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Thanks a lot, Doug.
Doug Melvin, former Brewers general manager, joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Free. We're back after this on the Wendy's Big Show, but first it's time for the latest on the coronavirus pandemic from CBS News on The Fan.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.